Chapter 17, Responsibilities of Married Life.
My dear brother and sister, you have united in a lifelong covenant. Your education in married life has begun. The first year of married life is a year of experience, a year in which husband and wife learn each other's different traits of character as a child learns lessons in school. In this, the first year of your married life, let there be no chapters that will mar your future happiness. To gain a proper understanding of the marriage relation is the work of a lifetime. Those who marry enter a school from which they are never in this life to be graduated. My brother, your wife's time and strength and happiness are now bound up with yours. Your influence over her may be a savor of life unto life or of death unto death. Be very careful not to spoil her life. My sister, you are now to learn your first practical lessons in regard to the responsibilities of married life. Be sure to learn these lessons faithfully day by day. Do not give way to discontent or moodiness. Do not long for a life of ease and inactivity. Guard constantly against giving way to selfishness. In your life union, your affections are to be tributary to each other's happiness. Each is to minister to the happiness of the other. This is the will of God concerning you. But while you are to blend as one, neither of you is to lose his or her individuality in the other. God is the owner of your individuality. Of him you are to ask, what is right, what is wrong? How may I best fulfill the purpose of my creation? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Your love for that which is human is to be secondary to your love for God. The wealth of your affection is to flow forth to him who gave his life for you. Living for God, the soul sends forth to him its best and highest affections. Is the greatest outflow of your love toward him who died for you? If it is, your love for each other will be after heaven's order. Affection may be as clear as crystal and beauteous in its purity, yet it may be shallow because it has not been tested and tried. Make Christ first and last and best in everything. Constantly behold him, and your love for him will daily become deeper and stronger as it is submitted to the test of trial. As your love for him increases, your love for each other will grow deeper and stronger. We all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You now have duties to perform that before your marriage you did not have. Put on, therefore, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Give careful study to the following instruction. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. See Colossians 3:12. Read Ephesians 5:2 and verses 22-25. Marriage, a union for life, is a symbol of the union between Christ and his church. The spirit that Christ manifests toward the church is the spirit that husband and wife are to manifest toward each other. Neither husband nor wife is to make a plea for rulership. The Lord has laid down the principle that is to guide in this matter. The husband is to cherish his wife as Christ cherishes the church, and the wife is to respect and love her husband. Both are to cultivate the spirit of kindness, being determined never to grieve or injure the other. My brother and sister, both of you have strong willpower. You may make this power a great blessing or a great curse to yourselves and to those with whom you come in contact. Do not try to compel each other to do as you wish. You cannot do this and retain each other's love. Manifestations of self-will destroy the peace and happiness of the home. Let not your married life be one of contention. If you do, you will both be unhappy. Be kind in speech and gentle in action, giving up your own wishes. Watch well your words, for they have a powerful influence for good or for ill. Allow no sharpness to come into your voices. Bring into your united life the fragrance of Christ-likeness. Before a man enters a union as close as the marriage relation, he should learn how to control himself and how to deal with others. In the training of a child, there are times when the firm, matured will of the mother meets the unreasoning, undisciplined will of the child. At such times, there is need of great wisdom on the part of the mother. By unwise management, by stern compulsion, great harm may be done the child. Whenever possible, this crisis should be avoided, for it means a severe struggle for both mother and child. But once such a crisis is entered into, the child must be led to yield its will to the wiser will of the parent. The mother should keep herself under perfect control, doing nothing that will arouse in the child a spirit of defiance. She is to give no loud-voiced commands. She will gain much by keeping the voice low and gentle. She is to deal with the child in a way that will draw him to Jesus. She is to realize that God is her helper, love her power. If she is a wise Christian, she does not attempt to force the child to submit. She prays earnestly that the enemy shall not obtain the victory, and as she prays, she is conscious of a renewal of spiritual life. She sees that the same power that is working in her is working also in the child. He becomes more gentle, more submissive. The battle is won. Her patience, her kindness, her words of wise restraint have done their work. There is peace after the storm, like the shining of the sun after rain. And the angels who have been watching the scene break forth into songs of joy. These crises come also in the life of husband and wife, who, unless controlled by the Spirit of God, will at such times manifest the impulsive, unreasoning spirit so often manifested by children. As flint striking flint will be the conflict of will with will. My brother, be kind, patient, forbearing. Remember that your wife accepted you as her husband, not that you might rule over her, but that you might be her helper. Never be overbearing and dictatorial. Do not exert your strong willpower to compel your wife to do as you wish. Remember that she has a will, and that she may wish to have her way as much as you wish to have yours. Remember, too, that you have the advantage of your wider experience. Be considerate and courteous. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Read James 3:17. One victory it is positively essential for you both to gain, the victory over the stubborn will. In this struggle, you can conquer only by the aid of Christ. You may struggle hard and long to subdue self, but you will fail unless you receive strength from on high. By the grace of Christ, you can gain the victory over self and selfishness. As you live his life, showing self-sacrifice at every step, constantly revealing a stronger sympathy for those in need of help, you will gain victory after victory. Day by day, you will learn better how to conquer self and how to strengthen your weak points of character. The Lord Jesus will be your light, your strength, your crown of rejoicing because you yield your will to His will. Men and women may reach God's ideal for them if they will take Christ as their helper. Make an unreserved surrender to God. To know that you are striving for eternal life will strengthen and comfort you. Christ can give you power to overcome. By His help, you can utterly destroy the root of selfishness. Christ died that the life of man might be bound up with His life in the union of divinity and humanity. He came to our world and lived a divine human life in order that the lives of men and women might be as harmonious as God designs them to be. The Savior calls upon you to deny self and take up the cross. Then nothing will prevent the development of the whole being. The daily experience will reveal healthy, harmonious action. Remember, my dear brother and sister, that God is love and that by His grace you can succeed in making each other happy, as in your marriage pledge you promised to do. And in the strength of the Redeemer you can work with wisdom and power to help some crooked life to be straight in God. What is there that Christ cannot do? He is perfect in wisdom, in righteousness, in love. Do not shut yourselves up to yourselves, satisfied to pour out all your affection upon each other. Seize every opportunity to contribute to the happiness of those around you, sharing with them your affection. Words of kindness, looks of sympathy, expressions of appreciation, would to many a struggling, lonely one be as a cup of cold water to a thirsty soul. A word of cheer, an act of kindness, would go far to lighten the burdens that are resting heavily upon weary shoulders. It is in unselfish ministry that true happiness is found, and every word and deed of such service is recorded in the books of heaven as done for Christ. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, he declares, ye have done it unto me. See Matthew 25, verse 40. Live in the sunshine of the Savior's love. Then your influence will bless the world. Let the Spirit of Christ control you. Let the law of kindness be ever on your lips. Forbearance and unselfishness mark the words and actions of those who are born again to live the new life in Christ. None of us liveth to himself. The character will manifest itself. The looks, the tone of the voice, the actions, all have their influence in making or marring the happiness of the domestic circle. They are molding the temper and character of the children. They are inspiring or tending to destroy confidence and love. All are made either better or worse, happy or miserable, by these influences. We owe our families the knowledge of the Word brought into practical life. All that it is possible for us to be to purify, enlighten, comfort, and encourage those connected with us in family relation should be done.